is quite limited. It was only, what, 2,500 years ago that the idea that the sun was the center of the universe, our universe, was made public. At that time, the prevailing thought was that the sun came up in the morning, crossed over the skies, and it went down in the morning, I mean evening, and that the sun revolved around the earth. And this was in fact, it was an idea that was taught by Aristotle in his inductive reasoning. Even though he was a student of Plato, who knew the truth because it was taught in the temples, in the sanctuaries of Egypt and Asia. And it was somewhat of a sacred teaching, because it wasn't given out because it was thought that perhaps it would awaken that portion of man that at this present time could lead to great disaster. But we can safely say that this idea of the sun being the center of the universe, which is widely accepted now, was simply something that was given to mankind by the adepts. And that, again, we see how nature unaided sometimes fails, but we are always given aid in our search for the truth. Now, we sort of jumped right in here, but let's keep this in perspective. There's a quote that we need to read. "That which giveth sustenance to the universe and to ourselves, from which all doth proceed, and unto which all must return, that thou art. In the golden vase of thy earthly body, may the pure light of the spiritual sun shine forth, that thou mayest know the truth and do thy whole duty on thy journey back to the sacred seat." That is a universal thought. How do we best understand, that the sun is the center of our universe? Well, we know that because we are alive. We are living in a universe that is being nurtured by the sun. The sun is the life giver of existence. Without the sun, there is darkness. So, a lot of questions arise, and because a materialistic idea is that the sun is a burning ball of fire, and that it could burn out, and that in fact, only 2,500 years, and the Western mind has really not considered the sun as a living entity. We have to go back to teachings or ideas that are the basis of our understanding of theosophy. The septenary nature of the universe, of man, is very relevant here. Because that is the analogy of the sun and the invisible sun. The same analogy, the same correspondence. Atma is that first principle. Well, what is that first principle? Well, we are told that is eternal, boundless, immutable, omnipresent, is, was, and always will be. It has no beginning, it has no end. That's Atma. That thou art. But spirit cannot enter matter. It reflects itself on matter, just as our sun reflects the spiritual sun on matter. So, what is that spiritual sun? Atma, the absolute. But we'll try to redefine that in a different way. But the sun represents in us the possibilities, the potencies, the potentialities of all of life. HPV tells us that by taking time and considering the sun, but also that spiritual sun, to concentrate and to try to eliminate our understanding, or actually expand our understanding. You know, that we have, we feel that, you know, that in, say, the sun has no heat in it. It's as cold as the moon. We, our question is, well, where does the heat come from? Where, what is that all about? Well, it's stated by those that know that it is, you know, this force travels through space, and space is cold. But it enters the Earth's atmosphere, and as it does, it heats up. But it's the force of the sun that heats up because it enters our atmosphere. That brings us to our seasons, our rhythmic expression of life. And we are now in a very pivotal time of life when we have entered the darkest time on the earth. That time, or that season, when the night is the longest. But after a few days, it seems as if the earth, the light, begins to become longer. There's more daylight. Maybe it's only a minute. But that gradually is the coming forth of light again. That is why this season is so special. That is why all through the ages, they have shown that there are gods that are born during this time. Gods of light, gods of understanding and of wisdom. Odin, Mithra, Horus, Dionysus, Bacchus, Jesus, Baldur, Demeter. All these are representations of this time of year, the coming forth of light. But to an occultist, that light is within us. And it says this is the seed time of the soul, when those seeds that are planted will blossom forth in the spring. This is a time of making resolve. So looking within into our deepest part of our nature. This is everything that we talk about in theosophy is related to us. Nothing is not. This is for a better understanding of ourselves. Because we are a ray of that spiritual sun. And all of life comes forth from that. It's curious that in the secret doctrines, when it talks about the absolute, one of its ways of explaining it is that it's the substance principle. The substance is Buddhi, because Atma cannot manifest. It needs a vehicle. And that's what our sun is. It says that, well, what's going on? Why does it seem like it's on fire? Well, it stated that it's in its sixth state of matter. Again, analogy and correspondence. The sixth state is a Buddhic nature, our compassion nature. In fact, how do we navigate this journey through this material world and trying still to be beings of light, of hope? It says, who listens to the voice of compassion shall unveil the face of the true spiritual sun, where else it shall be hidden by a vase of golden light. So from Christmas to Easter, from the winter solstice to the vernal equinox, we have a rising in the spirit or the energies of the earth. Rise with it. Ride that wave. Look within, thou art Buddha. That we have within our nature this spiritual font that we need to become in touch with. And we become in touch with it through the voice of compassion. There's many things that HPB says about the sun, and that the one being that it was kept very secret, and that even Aristotle and Bacon conceived the earth as being the center and the sun traveling about it. But HPB says that the sun, as the immediate origin and synthesis of our popular system, is the highest known emanation, and hence serves as a stepping stone from which we can rise to those abstract, metaphysical, and spiritual emanations which are beyond the scope of our ordinary powers. Such delving itself energizes and awakens those extraordinary powers which are latent in all of us, The hidden side of nature can only be reached by the hidden side of man, for the two are one. Man cannot know the spiritual son behind the physical one by any external method. It is only by uncovering the divine son in himself that the veil of the true son shall fall away. And she goes on later to say in the Secret Doctrine, the sun is matter and the sun is spirit. Our ancestors, the heathens, along with their modern successors, the Parsi, were and are wise enough in their generation to see in it the symbol of divinity, and at the same time to sense within, concealed by the physical symbol, the bright god of spiritual and terrestrial light. It is the spirit of light, the firstborn of the eternal pure element, whose energy or emanation is stored in the sun, the great life giver of the physical world, as the hidden, concealed spiritual sun is the light and life giver of the spiritual and psychic realm. Reflection upon the visible aspect of the sun soon leads the serious student of the occult side of nature into the potencies of unseen universe. The solar substance is immaterial in the sense, of course, of matter existing in states unknown to science. That was from the Secret Doctrine. That the sun is neither incandescent nor gaseous, as taught by modern science. It is a great magnet. The Rig Veda describes that spiritual sun in this way. His radiance is undecaying, the intensely shining, all-pervading, unceasing, undecaying rays of Agni desist not, neither night nor day. This is evidently related to the spiritual central sun, whose rays are all-pervading and unceasing, the eternal and boundless life giver. But later on, in that same quote from HPB, she says that this physical sun has no more heat in it than the moon or the space-crowding host of sparkling stars. There is no gravitation in the Newtonian sense, but only magnetic attraction and repulsion. That it is by their magnetism that the planets of the solar system have their motion regulated in their respective order by the still more powerful magnetism of the sun, not by their weight or gravitation. So, the spiritual and the physical sun, Atma Buddhi, from which comes forth mind, the architect of the universe. Another quote from HPV. The sun, as on our plane, is not even solar fire. The sun we see gives nothing of itself because it is a reflection, a bundle of electromagnetic forces, one of the countless milliards of knots of Fohat. Fohat is called the thread of primeval light, the ball of thread of a re Ariada. Indeed, in this labyrinth of chaotic matter, this thread runs through the seven planes, tying itself into knots, every plane being septenary. There are thus 49 mystical and physical forces, larger knots forming stars, suns, and systems, the smaller planets, and so on. We need to consider Fohat, this electrifying, magnetizing element on which we live. But it says that these electromagnetic knots, or she says, or our sun, are neither tangible nor dimensional, not even molecular as electricity, we know. It's said that the sun absorbs, psychizes, vampirizes its subjects within its system. Further than this, gives out nothing of itself. It is an absurdity, therefore, to say that the solar fires are being consumed and gradually extinguished. The sun has but one distinct function. It gives the impulse of life to all that branches and lives under its light. The sun is the throbbing heart of the system, each throb being an impulse, but this heart is invisible. Each throb being an impulse, but this heart is invisible. No astronomer will ever see it. That which is concealed in this heart, and that which we feel and see, its apparent flame and fire, to use a simile, are the nerves governing the muscles of the solar system, and nerves, moreover, outside of the body. This impulse is not mechanical, but purely spiritual and nervous impulse. So we to imagine this is that this out great outbreathing is coming forth is in all dimensions. It is magnetic, electric, and which connects all of life. It is Alaya, the Anima Mundi, that great storehouse of knowledge. We give special reverence to this time of year because we are coming into the light again. And how we approach this has great bearing on the fruits that we shall gather in the spring and carry forth into the summer. We can only do this, as stated by HPB, is to try to expand our consciousness, expand our reasoning powers, and be able to comprehend those powers which we have not yet imagined or developed. We talk about the sun being a reflection of that invisible sun, and that's this sun that we see is in its sixth state of matter. But the analogy is given thusly in the secret doctrine. The sun, like the Ashwata tree, grows with its roots above and its branches below. These roots lead to the rootless root, from whence floweth the never-ending stream of conditioned existence. The real sun is one of the numberless nucleoles in the bosom of eternity. The nucleoles are eternal and everlasting. The nuclei, periodical and finite. The nucleoles form part of the absolute. They are the embrasures of that black impenetrable fortress, which forever concealed from human or even theonic sight. The nuclei are the light of eternity escaping therefrom. Our purpose was not to give you answers, but give you questions. So we could talk for longer, but we would really like to share ideas with each other, because we were all brought up more or less in the same Aristotelian kind of world. Our universities, our schools are all predicated on that inductive reasoning. But we are told to use deductive reasoning. Think from universals to particulars. So if the universal is that we are that, how do we uncover that? And the answer was given through the voice of compassion, the voice of the silence, the Bhagavad Gita, the virtues. All of these are signs pointing to the path. Theosophy Hall, you have a comment? You're on mute, please.
Okay, we just like to review real quick. So, what exactly does theosophy mean by the invisible sun?
Did you get that?
Yes, well,
Okay.
what it means is that there is that which is everlasting, eternal, boundless, and immutable. That is the spiritual sun. That is the spiritual sun in us. That we are simply an analogy for us to take with us to help us realize our true nature. How can Theosophy say that we are eternal beings, that we don't die? How can that be said? Well, because we are a ray of that absolute. And we need to anchor our mind in that idea that we are not poor, miserable sinners, that we have the potency and the potentiality of the sun. SL?
Well, to follow up on that, we can say that we are a visible and invisible human being. The visible part of us is obvious to our senses, but there's an invisible part which is energizing, indwelling. We call it our soul, invisible energies, but then there is also that spiritual eternal aspect. And so that inner invisible sun is not just that aspect of the universal deific essence that you spoke of, or that was spoken of, but also all those invisible energies, that electrical magnetic energies or principles that the effect of which is seen on the physical plane. And it's interesting that our modern scientists, when they go out with their satellites and telescopes, they notice that we don't really see the sun. We see the photosphere or the radiations, how they appear, and they're not really yellow. They appear to us as yellow, but there are other colors. And some of those photos are really extraordinary and bring out the idea that what we see of the sun with our physical eyes is illusionary. It's not really what it is in truth, in fact.
Well, you know, that very fact, it's stated in the teachings that the sun is covered by robes. That if that robe or that veil is lifted, it would turn all physical life to ashes. You know, that that spiritual sun exists within us. You know, that is that heart quality. That is that heart doctrine. You know, that's how it manifests. Guess SL.
As the presentation was given, it occurred to us those two ideas in the voice of the silence, where it speaks of if sun thou canst not be, then be the humble planet that points out light to the pilgrim that struggles in the darkness. But also, it speaks of Venus and Mars as in the past cycles being radiant suns. And in future cycles will once again be suns. So that means that, like ourselves, what we see of the sun is an evolution, is in a process of changing as we are, that and at certain times or certain cycles, that inner divine aspect is more obvious or more apparent than others. So the sun is evolving as everything else is.
Yes, we think an example is Venus, that it is stated that those beings on that globe have evolved to the seventh state of matter for that globe. So a bright, luminous star it is. Theosophy Hall.
Very basic question. We're told to go from universals to particulars, which was Plato's way rather than Aristotle's way from particulars to try to find universals. But the question is, how do we do that? Because our training in school and everywhere in life is to look at particulars and it seems like one would have to be a free thinker to really be able to gaze directly on universals. So how do we become freed from the tyranny of the tiny little details and not being able to see the big picture?
Well, I think that's why you're here.
We're trying.
Well, but that's what it takes. We have to keep on trying because we are inundated by that logic, by that whole atmosphere of being. You know, it's all inductive, but deductive is you start with the universal principles. The first being that you are a ray of that eternal, boundless, immutable principle. You are a ray of that. And it manifests in our nature, first in our buddhic nature. And what is the buddhic nature? It's our heart, it's our compassion, it's our whole being. The mind has to be made compassionate, and the heart has to be made intelligent. So that's what we're trying to do.
I have a follow-up.
Yeah, follow-up.
We think you had that flipped, that deductive is based on particulars, and inductive is universalist.
No.
According to the definition,
no.
Deductive is characterized or based on the influence, on the inference of particular instances from a general law.
Right, from a general law, from universals.
Okay, we're just trying to get, we get confused. So
well, no, no, started. Confusion is the mother of learning. I mean, if we all get confused because, again, our minds are not programmed to accept this. It takes effort. The biggest effort is applying it in our daily life. You know, we can sit here and talk about it, but if we can't manifest it, what good is it? But that's why we have to understand what compassion is. We have to understand the heart. Once we understand our heart, we understand the heart of all beings. Theosophy Hall?
We're talking about being confused. So can we say then that the invisible sun, it was mentioned in the talk that it was another name, that it was the same as Atma? Are we correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. So on that premise, then, when we talk about the absolute, the invisible sun can be likened to the absolute as well, then?
It is a ray thereof.
A ray. Okay. Thank you.
SL? Would you have a follow-up or just making noise?
Stop. No, we have a newcomer who wants to ask a question. Be nice.
I am nice.
I'd like to say something too at some point.
Yeah, please. Wait, what's going on, first of all? Is Theosophy Hall, you have a question?
Yes, we have a newcomer who has a question.
All right, then we'll go to Duane, okay? So, all right, but be patient. Go ahead, Theosophy Hall.
Thank you.
Can we speak up?
Yeah, can you maybe just walk up here a little bit? Soft okay. Voice.
Yes, this is the first time I've been told I have a soft voice. I missed the reading, so if this is off base, you can just ignore it. But what's the use of seeing yourself as a ray of the invisible sun? How does that help you on your real, on your spiritual journey? Ooh. Like, it, I don't get it. It seems like an abstract, like I could be part of a clover or the moon. What about the sun makes it special?
Thank you.
Well, that is the whole question of our talk this morning. Why is it important to know that there is a spiritual sun? Well, it's part of the understanding of theosophy. It's a part of understanding that how the universe comes forward from the unmanifested into manifestation. And this is a periodic journey that everything is in motion. Everything isn't changing. I think our earlier comment that Mars was a sun at one time, you know, that nothing ever stays the same. Everything is evolving and going through space of a different kind. It is moving. Not only is the sun moving, but these nucleoles are also moving within that great, vast unknown. So the importance for us to know is to realize that we have that spiritual nature. We are eternal beings. And that we are therefore not going to escape this world unless we know how to live within it. And theosophy, by teaching the idea that the sun, which is the life giver, is what our nature is, what lies in our heart. Our heart, that fire lies in the heart. And that's a reflection of that spiritual sun. That is, again, absolute, eternal, boundless, immutable. It is that, and we are that. So that's our relationship to this. You know, if we want to deny the fact that we're all of this and cling to the idea that we're poor, miserable sinners and that we've evolved from the monkey, you will find yourself in the present state of the world for those that believe that evolution began from below. Nah, evolution began from above. We are descending spiritual beings that have reached the bottom of our induction, our involution into matter. And now it's said that we are turning toward the light once again, not only seasonally, but through time, through this present period of evolution, that we are more and more realizing our spiritual nature. And so that we are in the fifth subrace of the fifth root race of the fourth round. So use analogy and correspondence to understand what's happening. Fourth round, passion, desire, comma. Five, the fifth race, five corresponds to Manus. The fifth subrace, well, that corresponds to Manus. So what do we see happening? The mind is opening up. We're no longer shackled by materialistic science. For those that wish to look beyond the physical world into that which is unseen, the metaphysical, that electromagnetic universe in which we live. And it was stated that we are that electromagnetic universe. We are electromagnetic. We are the universe. We are that intelligence manifested. And manifested so that it has begun a journey of involution. For what purpose? To bring forth all of life to higher states of consciousness. So we've involved ourselves into matter. Hello, look at these bodies. We have trained them to be of use of the soul. These bodies are here for the experience of the soul. So this we have done. Intelligence has done. But again, we're still moving. We're still evolving. And theosophy is holding the light that man can perfect himself. Man can end suffering in the world. Man can create a world in which there is love and brotherhood, if man so wills it, and man so sees it, not only as an ideal, but as a possibility. But we can't get there unless we know what it is that we want. What is the ideal? Well, for us, is to ever perfect our lower nature, to gain control over it so that we can be vessels for that pure spirit.
Dwayne has a question.
Oh, yes, sure. We didn't mean to forget, Dwayne. Please go ahead.
Hey, good day to everyone. In your discussion of the spiritual son, which has been very good, I thought I had something to add by approaching it from Corpus Hermetica in Asclepius' explanation to his son, Tat. It starts off by talking about out of the abyss, out of the darkness came light and all that sort of thing. And we all see another example in the Bible, Fiat Lux. You know, there was darkness first and then there was light. I think these things point to the idea that even though in a materialistic existential world, we can see a sun and we see our earth and we see all these various spheres of action, planets, moon, et cetera, around us, that they are emanations of God, of Atma, you know, of Agni, as it was pointed out in different faiths, and also that which has no name, which is something that Blavatsky visits many times, talking about, you know, this has no name, you know, because names and words and sound waves and light and all that sort of thing are emanations in the material world. So without being long-winded about what I'm saying, I'd like to ask the question, when we talk about metaphysics and we talk about abstractions and understanding things about the spiritual sun, how do the seven planets and seven moons, as described in the secret doctrine, explain that metaphysical concept? Back to you.
Well, you know, the ideas that are presented are a way to explain, you know, the phenomena of life. You know, the septenary nature of the planets, of the universe, of man. That we are a synthesis of all of nature. You know, that that true spiritual son can manifest through our being. So I'm not sure if we explained that. I'm not sure we quite grasped it totally, but could you refresh us?
Sure. In Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, there's an explanation where she describes Fohat and describes many other participants and names of powers and emanations, in that there's seven different spheres of action or earths, and there's seven different moons, and that there's an interchange of ideas through the illusion of death and life that points out, at least to the ancient observer who wrote those doctrines, that there's something going on when the sun goes out, that even though we have the physical light, that there's a spiritual light that drives all things. And what my question for Theosophical Hall was, could you please explain how that secret doctrine, the seven spheres and seven moons and their interaction, Fohat's motivation, how do those things manifest in us as individuals, in our spiritual son? How do they describe the metaphysical that obviously is the cause of the physical, not vice versa? It's not deus and versus. It's most certainly the spiritual son motivates the physical son. How does that manifest in our lives and in as individuals?
Well, we have a spiritual nature. You know, that we have. It is just bringing to the fore that reality, that it exists within that absolute. And that the sevening or the seven aspects of the universe, and of the planets, of our own being is given to us. We see it manifested in our very being, that there are these seven planes of interaction that are in coadjunition, but not in consubstantiality. That simply means that they're interblended, but they're not of the same substance. So there's seven planes of which matter operates on. We're only aware of one plane, that this idea of meditating on the sun and its powers and potencies and so forth, it will expand our perceptions of metaphysical ideas and so forth, and of powers and potencies. That because you're considering something metaphysically, an abstract idea. And this is what expands our consciousness, the abstract idea that we entertain. So, we are this being. We are this entity that has all these powers and potencies and potentialities. We are gods, but only in the making. It has to be self-realized. It has to be done by self-induced and self-devised methods. We've come this far through natural impulse. But now we must uncover within ourselves that throbbing heart of the universe, that diastolic and systolic pulsating of the heart.
Can I say about what you just said about concerning gods? We are gods, you said?
In potential.
Okay.
In
Because
potential.
I personally, I've read the Bhagavad Gita many times. I know a lot of the folks in Theosophical Hall also have read the Bhagavad Gita. And one of the primary themes of it is that there's a supreme personality. And that supreme personality is Krishna. And though we could strive to become and to be like, and to understand the spiritual sun and let that spiritual sun glow within us so that we also could emanate the truth, the Supreme Personality still remains as the Supreme Personality. And our personalities often come through in what we say and do. But what we say and do, living in the material world, is also colored by the material world. But the Supreme Personality is in all things. So there and I, we are different than all things because I am an individual and so are you.
So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. We are that. That art that. It's everything is given to us, but what we understand is only that which we dwell upon. So, dwell upon universal ideas. Dwell upon that flame, that fire, that sun that dwells within you, that you are an emanation of. Be what you want to see in the world. Hope rises eternally, and we are rising again. So take advantage of this season of the year. Have a good holiday, Happy New Year, and make resolve.
Happy New Year, everyone.